Where do you find the power and the courage to face life's problems? You run to the bookstore, especially used to. It's been a while since I've been in a bookstore. Or you get on Google. You find a lot of things written on the subject. The power of positive thinking. It's just, well, it has a huge cult following. Some say, well, you just need to pull yourself up with your own bootstraps. In other words, you have it within you to conquer all your problems. You just need to, you know, buckle down. Get up and get on with it. But the fact is, some folks say that people can't really change. I had an elder in the church tell me one time that he said, I'm a realist about people. He didn't think people could change. God disagrees. God wants you to know that you are completely dependent upon Him when it comes to radical change, but you can change. Jesus said in, of course, quoted in John's Gospel, John 15, when he's talking about the vine and the branches. He said, verse 4, John 15, 4, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. We all get that, right? But then he said this, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Tonight, we're going to continue our study of the book of Ephesians. We're just beginning. And I want to begin our lesson tonight with verse 18. Ephesians 1:18. Where Paul pens a prayer for those brethren and for us. And this is what he prays, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Now, we need to chew on that one, don't we? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. What an incredible prayer. And notice it's Paul's prayer that God's power that enlightens us and gives us hope and even inheritance of God, that we'll grasp that. Do you really want a dose of reality from God? You want something more than a cheerleader telling you, you know, rah, 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 go, 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 pick yourself up with your own bootstraps. Well, here it is, Ephesians 2, verse 1. Here's reality. And he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you he made alive. Look at verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. This is what Paul's prayer is about. In Christ, God has placed you above all power and dominion. Now live like it, right? Just live like it. Any serious study of this passage points to one timeless biblical truth. The power of God is real. It's real. Paul says that there's a boundless source of power for those who believe in Christ. I mean, you're talking about living by faith. Do you wake up each day realizing that there's a boundless source of power available to you? Are you like me some mornings? I don't feel very empowered, but it's there. And in fact, even in Paul's warning, you're reminded, hey, it's there. Paul told about some folks in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Denying the power. Nothing in this world compares with the kind of power available to you. It's the kind of power that God used in raising Jesus from the dead and sitting him at his own right hand far above all other powers. Paul lived every day aware of this truth. Look at Ephesians 3:7. He says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace, of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So Paul understood this. It registered with him. By the way, in the book of Philippians, Paul indicates that the power of God's grace continues to be powerfully effective in our lives. I want to read a few verses. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Philippians 1:3. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Now think about that. Paul says, I'm confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers with me of grace. And so Paul tells us that God will continue his work in Christians until Christ comes again, his second coming. Till then. One of my favorite passages in all the scripture, the New Testament, is Ephesians 3:20. Now you need to have this memorized. It's the end of a prayer. Ephesians 3:20. Where Paul says, now to him who is able. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Do you believe God's power for you is just as real as it was for those whom Paul was praying for, those brethren in Ephesus? That prayer is not just for the first century. Christ was exalted to God's right hand and continues to be over the powers of even this present age, and always will. You remember Paul saying, it's a passage that's used out of context all the time, but Remember Paul writing the Philippians and saying, I can do most everything through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say that, did he? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but don't pull that out of context, because he's talking about the strength to do what most can't, to be content no matter what the circumstance. This isn't just the power of positive thinking. This was real strength that got Paul through every challenging day, and the days were challenging. Some claim that God empowers them to do all kinds of miraculous things, and so they set up TV networks and send me $1,000 and God will send you back $10,000. And they claim that they're doing miracles even while they drift away from truth, basic truth found in the written word. Hey, don't let those false teachers cause you to shy away from talking about God's power. Yes, some have only a form of godliness without the real power to do God's work. But you, through God's power, can do more than you ask or think. Now, Nita knew me when I was just a kid. We graduated high school together. We went to church at Shell Street Church of Christ together. And when word spread that Danny Stewart was going to be a preacher, everybody's response was, well, what? And even myself, I've told you this before, even myself, I could not even begin, I thought I could, but I could not begin to imagine all the doors that would open to me to help other people, to preach to them and teach them. According to God's power, what can you do? If you had told that high school boy running around what I was going to do, I'd have said, I don't think so. But that's how real this is. And all of you can tell that same story in one form or another in your life. And so we are totally dependent on God's power to grow in faith. It's only by God's power that we deepen our faith. And notice what Paul says again here in Ephesians 3. Paul prays that we may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith. Now that's a lot. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, Paul's prayer, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What does it take for Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith? This isn't one of those pick yourself up with your own bootstraps thing. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the end result. According to Paul's prayer, he wants you to be strengthened with God's power, which gives you the strength to allow Christ to dwell in your heart through faith. Amazing. Yes, you need to know God's word. But we all have to have a power within our life that will enable us to practice what we know. And God gives you that power so that you can do more than you can even begin to imagine or think. God is willing to walk with you. He's willing to give you strength to believe and practice what He requires. Now, here's the question. Okay, preacher, how does He do that? How can we discover God's sustaining power? Well, here it is. First of all, God's sustaining power for living is only available through His Spirit, according to those prayers. Paul prayed that we might be strengthened with might through His Spirit, through the indwelling Spirit that you receive strength and power. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And then in 2 Corinthians 1:22, who, speaking of the Spirit, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit lives within you. And He's there to sustain you. Now, secondly, God's sustaining power for living is also available through the written Word. And this isn't an either or, it's both. The Spirit, now the Word of God. Paul prayed that the Ephesians might come to know God better. He prayed for the Ephesians' enlightenment. Back to Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Today we don't receive a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit but through the laying on of the apostles' hands. They're not alive. We don't perform signs so that people can be assured that what we're saying is by inspiration. We don't speak by inspiration other than from the Word of God. The Spirit can't do much for you if you're disconnected from God's written Word. It's only through the Word. In fact, think about this. It's only through the Word that we can test which Spirit is leading us. In other words, there's more than one Spirit that wishes to thrive within you. And so John wrote, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." That's 1 John 4:1. And of course, again, apart from God's Word, you can't test those spirits. And so, this is vital to us, God's Word. Now, thirdly, God's sustaining power for living is available through the prayers of the church. Paul asked the brethren to pray for him that he might have the ability to say what he needed to say. Isn't that an interesting prayer request? By a man who has the gift of prophecy and the gift of knowledge, obviously, and yet he's saying, "Pray for me so that I will say what needs to be said or have what needs to be said." Ephesians 6, verse 18. You remember at the end of this, the armor of God? You're suited up, you're ready for battle. And then Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul, of all people, said, "I need your prayers. They're vital for strength and for direction." What does that say about us? How much we need that. It's vital that we be praying for each other, that our minds be instructed and our hearts enlightened. There's so much more than intellectually knowing God's word. That's important. That's important, but there's much more. We need to be praying that it will be gripping, vital, compelling, and that we will see the full impact of God's word in our lives and in the lives of others. The teaching is to instruct the mind. The prayer is to awaken and enlighten the heart, and thus we'll be able to act appropriately. And if people can't act as Christians, one of those elements is going to be missing. Bottom line, do you believe that your Almighty God hears and acts upon your prayer? Do you believe that? I read a story about a man who got a permit to build a beer joint, a tavern, in a little small town that didn't have any beer joints. And the members of a local church were, of course, strongly opposed to that bar being built. And so they began to pray fervently that God would intervene. And a few days before the tavern was scheduled to open, lightning hit it and burned it to the ground. And the people of the church were surprised, pleased, but very surprised. And they were even more surprised when they received a notice that this would-be tavern owner was suing them. He contended that their prayers were responsible for the burning down of his building. They passionately denied that charge. And at the conclusion of the preliminary hearing, the judge remarked, "At this point, I don't know what my decision will be, but it seems that the tavern owner believes in the power of prayer and these church people don't." Too many wonder why they need to go to church. How about the purpose of discovering each other's needs and praying for one another, right? We become stronger when we're together and worshiping God and studying God's word. We need to be praying that each of us will receive God's strength to live for Christ, that inner man will be enlightened, that we'll know the love of Christ. But it takes faith to believe that God hears your prayers and answers them. Sometimes we're like the little honest little boy that was praying, and he was asked why he prayed, and he said, "Well, I pray for something which I want very badly and which I'm afraid I can't get any other way." Sometimes we're somewhat childish like that. Christians must seek time and opportunity to be in the presence of God. Of course, that doesn't just happen here, does it? It not only, there's other times it happens. But we need to be involved in prayers for strength, for ourselves, but for one another. It's a challenge to think and live biblically in this world. And if you're in a lifestyle where you go, well, it's pretty easy for me, then thank God for that, for you. But that's not true for everyone. It's a challenge to live biblically, but it's our only chance. The old pull yourself up with your own bootstraps approach, that's like trying to fire up a 747 with a AAA battery. There's not enough power to get it done. To tackle fundamental personal and life pattern problems, you have to plug into the only source that can bring permanent change, and that's God. You need His power to continue to be transformed into the image of Christ. But that can't happen without our faithful cooperation. Without God, you can't change. But He can't change you until you surrender your will to Him as well. And so, may your heart's intent be, as you walk out the back doors tonight, to grow this week. I'm going to grow. And I'm going to be prayerful about it. And I want to become more like Jesus. Because you know what? That prayer will be answered. If you need to come, please come forward now while we stand and sing.